We fear, we beat fire, we celebrate, we stand tall, yes, from the top. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, we're let's go test the fun tonight. Win on three, one, two, three, win.
X 82 pickle, H disco, 19 yo-yo, deep yo-yo, deep yo-yo.
Firm up a little bit, push.
I'm gonna use the KS now, right? We gotta use the KS for that blitz.
Apple, apple, Doctor, Japan, Richmond, New York, Richmond, Florida, Sally, Buffalo, Jet, hey, Jordan, Luna, Raiders.
Let's go, baby, let's go! There it is! Hey, there's one goal, one mission today, man! There's one goal, one mission! Dominate every play, and we'll see what happens at the end of the game! We will win! We dominate every play! Let's be locked in, let's be engaged, let's play together, most importantly! Let's go to work, baby! Hey!
Welcome to the Road Less Travel to Super Bowl 49. I'm Derek Hutchison. I am here with Jacob Hutchison, Zach Goldsberry, and Joe Traynor. We're going to talk NFL divisional playoffs. We're going to talk AFC, NFC championship. We're going to talk Super Bowl, and I am going to be right the whole time. Unfortunately, Joe, I see that you have worn your Broncos shirt.
I support the winning team.
That's sad. But we have an eclectic group here today simply because, Zach, unfortunately, you are a Green Bay Packer
fan. Green Bay
Packer.
Jacob and I, both Indianapolis Colts fans.
Aspire to the right way to live life.
And Joe, a Bronco fan.
Nobody
likes Joe. That's except for Peyton Manning.
Yep. Peyton Manning's pretty cool.
which is
I could care less about everybody else.
Joe, it's good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
Pull the mic just a little bit closer to you, or I can turn you up. Or
it's good to be here.
There you go. Everybody, can you hear me? Okay, Joe.
I can hear you. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Good. So
you can't see, but we're actually like 20 yards apart from each other.
No. 20 yards.
It's a big studio.
It's a huge studio.
We actually have the show. We're doing the show right now, like on a football field.
Yeah.
It's 10 degrees. It's fun.
On the frozen tundra. That's exactly right. So obviously we're going to spend some time here talking about who we think is going to win, why we think they're going to win.
The Broncos are going to win.
You know.
What was it? Did you cough?
I'm not sure.
Hear that nonsense I was spewing out of your mouth, but that's whatever.
The nonsense. If you want to give us a call and add your 2 cents, and you can give us a call at 877-694-5615. Wait, is that six? Yeah, 694. I'm sorry, I can't see. 694-5615. 1-877-694-5615. I think the best place to start is obviously sad day. This weekend, Stuart Scott passed away.
Very sad.
Yeah, he was. I can remember Stuart Scott. I did not realize that 1993 was when he started at ESPN, at the Deuce. ESPN 2, 1993.
Yeah.
So, and died at the age of 49 from multiple cancers. It was a sad deal, but our prayers go out to Stuart Scott's family, everybody at ESPN. Joe, we talked a little bit before we went on the air, and so I'll give you this so you can think about it when we get to it.
Sure.
We're going to have a little section called fill in the blank. This team wins only if.
Okay.
Okay? And you got Carolina.
Okay.
So Carolina wins only if.
God is their quarterback.
If God is their quarterback. That's exactly right. So and Zach's going to have Dallas win since we're going to make him do that against Green Bay.
Oh, no, the Colts Cup.
My Colts Cup fell over. It fell over.
What's it fell over for?
So, and Jacob's going to take Indianapolis wins. We took all of the underdogs.
Okay.
Wins only if, and I've got the Ravens because that's the easiest one. Because
really
there's a number of things that can happen.
Ravens are a dangerous team right now.
Yes.
You really are.
That's exactly right. Where'd my pen go? I don't know, Joe.
Oh, I stole it. That's upstairs.
Oh, Joe, are you trying to get on my net? Are you trying to get on?
I think I'm on your net, sir.
How'd you get on my internet?
We're talking basketball now.
I brought this, my wife's computer.
Oh, okay. There you go. So she's got the password on it anyway.
Little
she's got
know,
a password. So everybody's on.
Yeah.
Let's start out first way. We've got four games coming up this weekend. Baltimore at New England, Carolina at Seattle, Dallas at Green Bay, Indianapolis at Denver. I have the Vegas line in front of me.
Oh.
Can never go wrong. Always right.
Vegas Ooh. Knows all.
Okay, keep going. I just remembered something.
Okay, so here's what I want to do. I want to go around the table real quick and tell me. I want you to tell me, not so much who you think's going to win, because we don't care about that right now. We'll get into that later. But whether or not you take the bet.
Got
you. Do you take the points? What do you do? Okay, so I'm going to start here. Baltimore at New England. Baltimore is a 7-point dog. So, in other words, Baltimore plus 7, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
Jake, do you take the points in Baltimore, or do you go ahead and take New England and think that they're going to win by more than 7?
Ooh, I'm going to say New England.
You're going to take New England.
I think
New
they're going to win more by more than 7.
More than 7 points. What about you, Joe?
I'm going to take the Ravens.
You're going to take the Ravens.
I'm going to say the Ravens are going to win that game.
See, I am too.
With the 7-point thing.
I'm going to take the Ravens as well.
I would love to
I would go with the Ravens as well.
And the over-under is 47.5, and obviously the over-under is you combine the points of each team. And do you think, so 47.5, you take over or under on that?
Ooh.
You think it's going to be 47.5 points?
I'm going to take under.
Under that, what do you think, Joe?
I'm going to say, that sounds like a pretty good number, but I'll say it's going to be a little bit more than that.
You're going to take the over on that. What about you, Zach?
I'm going under.
I'm going to take the over on that. I think it's going to be like 37, 35.
Ooh.
Some big giant score.
I would rather
34-31.
34-31.
I would rather see a lower scoring game from that game.
I don't think it's going to be.
I think that Brady's going to be, I think he's going to be on fire, but I think that Flacco's going to come alive as well.
You know, and when we get to talking about that, I have some incredible stats about that, about Flacco and his ability to win at Gillette Stadium at the playoffs, 2 out of 3 times. So you get to Carolina at Seattle. Carolina's 11-point dog. Do you take Carolina in the 11 points, or do you take Seattle?
I'm going to take Carolina on that. I think it's
going
to be closer than what people think.
I'm going to take Carolina and the points as well.
Yep, I would take Carolina and the points. Now, I don't think they're going to win, but I take the points.
I'm going to
take the points. I think it's going to be closer than what people
think. I think they can keep it within 11 points. What do you think, Joe?
I agree with that. I think Seattle will win, but I think I don't think it'll be by more than 11.
What do you think, Zach?
I agree.
Same thing?
It's going to be a close game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
The over-under for this is only 39.5 points. That's it.
I still think that's high, though. I'm going under.
You think that's high? I think that's high, too. What do you think?
I think it's a little high.
You going over or under on that, Joe? 39.5 points.
I'm going to go over. I'm feeling optimistic. I think it's going to be a high-scoring
man,
weekend.
Man, the defense is out the window.
High.
No
defense.
75-76.
No defense. People are going to be scoring safeties, like 6 safeties in the entire game.
I could get like 26-14. Nah, I'd lose my line. 26-17. I win my over, I win my line. That would be good. Dallas at Green Bay.
Green Bizay.
Dallas is a 6-point dog. Do you take Dallas in the points? Or do you take Green Bay?
It's only 6 points.
Six
That's the
points.
Lowest one, isn't it?
That is the lowest one. Dallas and 6 points, or do you take Green Bay?
I'm going to take Green Bay on that one. I think they will win by at least 10.
No kidding?
I think Green Bay will win by 10.
Crap.
Exactly 10 points.
Exactly.
Maybe 10 and a half. Maybe
10 and a half. What do you think, Joe?
It's at Lambeau, yeah?
It's at the Frozen Tundra.
I think Green Bay wins that by more than 6. Really? I think it was a fluke last week. ten and a half quarters.
Yes.
10.75 points. I think that the Cowboys coming back last week, it's never happened. It's not going to happen again.
They cheated. We're going to talk about that.
That's true.
We're going to talk about that. So what are you, okay, Fact. Zach, I probably don't even have to ask
Green
you. Bay's going to
put
Green
on
Bay.
A clinic.
I'm going to take Dallas in the points.
Oh.
Dallas is going to win by 3.
You can't take that for – he's a Green
50,
Bay hater.
Yeah. I have to be a Green Bay hater. 53 is the over-under.
Ooh,
27-26. I don't know. What do you think? 53
I think it's going to be over.
You think so?
Yes.
Green Bay is going to put 40 points, of course. So,
it's going to be.
That's crazy.
It's going to be 45-35.
45-35?
45-35.
There's going to be 8 turnovers in this game.
All by
31-17. Green
Bay. It's going to be 6 degrees.
I know.
It's not going to be.
It's going to spark something.
I don't know.
It's going to turn on some weird part of the human spirit. And
I will go over as well. I think there's going to be a lot of scoring, mainly by Green Bay.
I am going to go under. I'm going to say Dallas is going to win 17-14. We'll get to that later.
It's going
to
be high.
Indianapolis at Denver. Indianapolis is a 7-point dog.
Ooh. I say Indianapolis is going to win by exactly 10 points.
Not 10.5.
I like that.
Not 10.5. I say Indianapolis wins by 10 points.
Joe's the homer, so you're obviously going to take...
I'd take Denver, obviously.
You're
going to
take Denver.
Home team.
But you think they're going to lose.
I think they're going to win. I think that... I don't know if I would take the odds. I think it's going to be a closer game than 7 points. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be a good high-scoring game, but it might be...
21-17?
I think a little higher, 28.
No, that's not 10 points. It's
28-24, something
points.
Like that.
Oh, it has to be exactly 24-14.
That sounds about right.
Denver wins?
No, Indianapolis wins.
I think so, too. What do you think, Zach?
I don't know how we keep Denver from scoring 2 touchdowns. But
I am not a fan of the Broncos at all, but I think they will pull it out.
Silly, silly boy.
And I think it'll be a close game.
I think it will.
But we can all say for sure that any team I would root for before I root for the Patriots.
I think so, too.
I can agree with that.
I think
team going against the Patriots.
I think I recognize the number here. I'm going to bring
we have a caller.
Hey, welcome to the Road Less Traveled at Super Bowl 49. How are you doing today?
Oh, doing good, guys. Elwood calling from Indianapolis, Indiana, so...
Hey.
Joe.
Elwood.
God, I love you guys, but Andy Luck's going to roll over old man Manning.
He's going to roll over. He's going to roll over.
No, I do not think he's going to roll over. I am with you all the way on this one, Elwood.
Luck has got old man Manning's number. At the beginning of the season, he didn't. That team had some issues. Andrew Luck's got him worked out. I mean, today they were interviewing Andrew here in Indy, and they were like,
"I saw that.
How are you going to face off against Manning? How are you going to stop Manning? What do you think about Luck versus Manning?" He's like, "Well, I don't know. I'm worried about the defense. I'm not even going to play." It was great.
This kid is never going to be on the field
at the same time as this dude.
They're actually
going to
put Manning in as a cornerback.
Yeah.
Yes. Are we going to have like Manning and Luck just duke it out or something? I mean, these people aren't even on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Just bring them out to the 50-yard line right there. We're going to flip the coin, and that'll be it. Everybody buy a beer and go
home. Loves and let him go at it.
Luck definitely has a better beard than Manning does, though.
Yes,
hey,
does.
Being somebody myself from Indiana, born and raised in Marion, Indiana.
Oh, yes.
So what?
Are you a good Indiana Wesleyan boy?
I am not an Indiana Wesleyan boy. I was out of town before Indiana Wesleyan got big. They had just become Indiana Wesleyan, but back to the
1800s. So yeah, I knew it was there when you were there.
Oh, absolutely. It was it was Marion College and then Indiana Wesleyan, and I can remember walking to Center School. Uphill is both ways, which is now encompassed, you know, Indiana Wesleyan now encompasses, my mother and father live right on the 38th Street, which is right in the edge of Indiana Wesleyan, which is a fantastic college. Now it's just a beautiful campus. What's the fever pitch there in Indiana about this? Are we looking in a positive way, or are we like, oh, crap, we got to go to Denver?
Oh, no, everyone's excited. There's nothing negative about it. I mean, Luck has won over this town. I mean, I even call it the Andrew Luck Children's Hospital. I won't even call it the Peyton Manning Children's Hospital. Yeah, that's how much. Oh, I've got like 3 Luck jerseys. I've took all the Manning stuff in my man cave and put it in the closet and got the Luck stuff out. No, everybody here's pretty pumped about it. No, great Zen moment. There were these 2 or 3 little guys all in their Luck jerseys, and they were just talking total smack, awful about Peyton, just talking about playing Peyton. And I thought, oh, how disrespectful. He put us, and then it dawned on me, oh, wait, they're not old enough to remember him being a Colt. So I gave him a pass. Like, the next generation already thinks of him as the evil Broncos dude. I mean, they were just, like, I can't badmouth Peyton. I still love the guy. But if I was 6, he'd be like, dang that Peyton Manning and the stupid Broncos. Horses aren't white, they're blue.
I'm a huge Peyton Manning fan. Another show that we have on Thursday morning, Derek and George Live. George is a huge Broncos fan. And him and I fight all the time because I tell him I'm a Peyton Manning fan, but I am not a Bronco fan. And he swears up and down that's impossible.
Team first,
and of course, and that's what he always says, team first, baby. One, because I had Peyton on my fantasy team.
Yeah, that was crap. That ruined my season.
But two, I like to see Peyton win, except I would love to see Peyton do well tomorrow or on Sunday. I just don't want him to beat the Colts. I just don't want him to do well enough to beat the Colts.
Do you want this irony, too? This could be Peyton's last year. So
sure.
If Peyton loses Sunday, Peyton ends all hope of another Super Bowl ring because of his replacement. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
You've got to love the irony.
I mean,
tears of joy.
Colts lovers.
The Colts,
I'm hoping the Colts go
because I want that third ring. Because, you know, Baltimore has one of our Lombardis and won't give it back. So, you know, we need to win another one. I think we should invade Baltimore. Just take our Lombardi back and tell the Orioles, hop in the Mayflower truck. You'll do a lot better in Indy.
What were you saying,
everybody's just, you know, gushing over Luck
I'm gushing over Luck. I love this
kid. Let's look at this, though, okay?
I'm more excited. But, guys, I was at the Hoosier Dome during Peyton's first year. And dating myself. And going to IUPUI and we'd go to the games. I went to Uipui, guys. Proud Metro / Jaguar. It changed midstream on me while I was there. So 1 year, my first two, I was a Metro, and my last two, I was a Jaguar. So, but the first year he was there, I remember thinking, should we have got rid of Hardball for this kid? I've never thought that with Luck. That first game, I stood up and went, cha-ching! And then when we were at that Chiefs game and we were down like 1 million points and he just dives over among the guys and gets a touchdown, I was like, oh, Peyton, who? You know, I mean, it was like it's like in 84 when everyone just like converted from whatever team they were to the Colts. You know, I just went from like Peyton to Luck that day, and I was like, he won me over.
Well, we appreciate the call. We're going to let you go so we get back to our Vegas line betting. But
if Indiana Wesleyan ever gets football, we can talk about that for you, Marion boy.
There you go. Look, AA, and looking forward to it. They've got the room to do that. So you have a good evening.
Hey, no problem.
All righty, bye-bye. All right, Joe, go ahead. Talk about the gusher, man.
I wish you guys luck.
So
Lucky said it's not Manning versus Luck because they're never on the field together. My thinking is we're at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mile High, Invesco Field, Mile High. Or Sports Authority Field, whatever it is now.
Right. Mile High Sports Authority, Invesco Field, and Pepsi.
We have one of the best home field advantages. And of course, this whole playoff weekend is a home field advantage thing. But
absolutely.
Andrew Luck struggles with throwing interceptions.
Yes. Right?
We have one of the best defenses especially pass rush defenses.
Yes.
We're going to put him under pressure.
Okay.
He's going to throw some passes that he shouldn't throw. And we've got the guys back there, Harris Jr., Aqib Talib.
Aqib Talib.
And we're just, I mean, I anticipate two interceptions that he's going to throw. And
oh, I thought you were talking about Peyton. I was going to say, that's about
right. Andrew Luck is going to throw three interceptions. I think that Manning is going to go clean. I don't think there's going to be an interception from Peyton Manning.
I don't know if I can go with that.
One of the best things about home field advantage is he can do the quiet down crowd, yeah. And he can call out his audibles and do his checkdowns and everything. Like, I just don't think that with our home field advantage and our pass rush against Luck, I think that we're going to force him into throwing too many interceptions. I think that's going to be the Colts' downfall.
Isn't it true, though? I mean, as much as we talk about it, Elwood from Indianapolis, it boils down to Peyton and Luck. I mean, doesn't it?
I say just do 100-meter dash, see who wins back.
It boils down to it.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
I would say probably whoever has the better day. Now, I think Luck's going to have more yards, obviously, because he can't hand off as much.
Right.
As Peyton can now. He hadn't been able to do that before.
I think that that's the thing that we have as an advantage as well, is I think that we have a better balance. I think that you guys are going to have to pass more than we do. I think that we'll be effective on the pass. Luck is, he's awesome. I mean, last week he had a fantastic week throwing the ball well. I don't think that it's going to be the same thing this weekend. I think that he's going to have more pressure. I think that he's going to be forced into some bad decisions. And I think that that's going to be the Colts' downfall right there.
I'm telling you, Broncos are going to run out of Luck. That's it.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. I think so. I think that, and let's get into a little bit of the game. But before we get into this game, just a second, I got to, oh, okay, Elwood's in here. So, Andrew Luck, there you go. He's into the chat room, baby.
Come
Andrew
on, Elwood.
Luck. Go Colts. I want to talk real quickly about, we argued about this at supper. And this, it's over. It's done. It doesn't have any effect on the games this weekend, except for the fact of maybe they would be different. But I want to talk a little bit about the Immaculate Retraction.
Yeah.
and the Immaculate Retraction that I'm referring to is obviously the picking up of the flag of pass interference against Dallas in the Dallas-Detroit game. Zach, we talked a little bit about this during supper, and you were okay with it.
Well, I said that I would only be okay with it if they didn't already apply the yardage. If they grouped up and huddled and talked about it and made a discussion and said, okay, we decided that there was no foul, I would be okay with it.
Yeah. They had already announced it and said everything, and then they went back
and picked it up. To be honest, there are many bad calls, missed calls every single game.
You're right.
And you have to live with it.
You're right. That's exactly right.
I just think from a professional standpoint of them just kind of throwing it out there.
I think,
I mean, I think it was pass interference, but the way they handled it was completely wrong.
Yeah, and real quick, I want to play this. I want to play this clip. This comes from Jim Diopoulos, who is a former NFL referee, and they brought in, I mean, the talking heads, ESPN, NFL.com, everybody who was talking about this, brought in referees from everywhere to say, what did you think? You know, even the networks have them now, CBS. Fox, they always have it. Boom, there's a play. They've got some guy in New York. They've got a guy sitting. What did you think? I'm going to play Jim Diopoulos. I think he was talking to Hannah Storm on NFL.com.
Why did officials in this game pick up the flag on the pass interference call?
Difficult to explain, Hannah. It was a great call by the back judge. It was a pass interference. The defender was not playing the ball, and he interfered with Pettigrew's opportunity to make the catch. I am confused why the head linesman got involved in the play, saying that he had a better view and that there wasn't contact. There was clear contact. It was a penalty, and it should have been left down there.
Okay, so there's an NFL referee. Just want to add in here a little bit, Elwood, in the chat room.
Yeah, I'm coming, Elwood.
get a little Elwood. What do the Denver Broncos and the Chick-fil-A manager have in common? A, neither one shows up for work on Sunday. I don't know. There's another one. How do you stop a Denver Bronco fan from beating his wife? Dress her in Indianapolis Colts blue and white.
Heated up.
Okay, so that you heard, that's what a referee said.
Yep.
Okay, that's what a referee. My personal opinion, absolutely horrible call. Zach, you and I talked a little bit about Dez Bryant coming on the field, no helmet.
Yeah, what was
and,
that call?
And the idea of that sometimes referees, that's a judgment call.
Yes.
Of whether
he got
or not.
Straight in his face.
I know. Well,
Dez Bryant got right in the ref's face.
Here's the other thing that I thought that they missed, and I know it's nitpicky, but there were numerous things that happened on that play, and every net were broken down. 8 yards out, he reaches out and grabs his jersey and pulls it. There's one. Then he gets into his face, which they called face guarding, which I thought was illegal, but
only
evidently,
in college.
Yeah. And right. And
but that wasn't Dez Bryant. That was the pass interference.
Then yeah. Dez Bryant comes out on the field, throw a flag, pick it up. What do you think, Joe? I mean, what do you think? It was just nuts to me.
I mean, with a call like that, and like you guys said, I mean, there's a ton of bad calls each week. But the one thing that's confusing is if you guys think back to the beginning of the season, you couldn't even breathe on a guy funny without getting a pass interference called.
I know it.
Yep.
And now you've got this guy, and it's clearly like, past that point where you can contact the receiver.
And he wasn't even trying to go to put the ball. Like,
yeah, no, just like grabbing onto him. And then they throw the flag. Obviously, somebody sees exactly what happened. And then why they pick it up?
Then a head linesman comes in and says, I saw it differently. And, okay, and here's the honesty. This is, I mean, these guys get paid to do this. This is their job, okay? The only thing that I thought that happened on that play was just like happens, I don't know how many times, I swear coaches will tell you 100 times against each other. We got screwed on a call. Okay, that happens. Bad call. Pittsburgh Steelers fans are notorious for that. We got screwed on a call. That's why we lost. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, man. We just got. Oh, man.
Just
we got
that.
Oh,
Steelers
it was holding.
Fans,
it was just holding. Oh, no, it was holding. We should have. That taken into consideration, now it's fourth down. The punter comes
that's
on.
True. Shanks it.
And shanks it.
It's a 20-yard punt.
At least a 20-yard punt.
I think it's only 10 yards, actually.
And see, and we're looking at it, right? It's, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, Detroit comes on, turns the ball over two or three times within the last 3 minutes.
I think it's really stupid that they even punted the ball.
Well,
you have 1 yard to go.
Yeah.
Fourth down. You're on your own side of the field.
Yeah.
Go for it. That's playoffs, man.
A fourth and one, you go for it in the playoffs. You go for broke.
And then the punter comes on and just shanks
it.
Dallas goes 59 yards. They give it to him. They make a fourth down conversion on a penalty or a third down conversion on a penalty. He gives them a first down number of times. They turn it over. I'm not saying that they lost that game because of that.
Yeah.
What's embarrassing to me is what all of the networks kept touting was these referees, these are the best of the best.
Yeah.
This is the cream. They go through these tiers. Now, I understand the best of the best are the people who ends up at the Super Bowl.
And God is Ed Hockley.
Ed Hockley is something I like. Ed would have never put up with that. Ed would have never.
Ed would have done it. He'd have done it. He was down for anything.
Ed would have said, it is what I say. It is just embarrassing for me. And what happens then is now the Cowboys, who won the game fair and square, you know, you could say, okay, but you don't know that Detroit holds on to that ball. You don't know what happens after that. Detroit had a chance. They blew it. But now everybody's saying, okay, it's Dallas at Green Bay, but, boy, we're not really sure whether Dallas belongs there or not. They're lucky to be here. I don't know. I just think that it's – I'm curious about how – and this is my big thing. I'm curious about how that affects Sunday's games.
Yeah, and the Packers fan here, you know, taking on the Cowboys, being the – we called them cheaters at the beginning. You know, it's not as much cheating on their part as the refs cheating for them.
Right,
I guess, but,
right.
You know, thinking about how Dallas got there and if they really deserve to be there.
Mm-hmm. I think they do deserve to be there.
And they'll show that to Green Bay when they beat them. And I hope.
You
really
know what?
Hoping,
you know what? As much as I'm really hoping
that the referees cheat. For
as much
Dallas,
as I root against Green Bay, I will be rooting for them against
Dallas.
Yes. And also root for them against against
Seattle.
No, against Pittsburgh or not Pittsburgh against. Well, against Pittsburgh, that's true. New England. If it comes down to
Lord,
that,
let's not even get started. We'll get into the debacle that is. Did you lose your?
I don't know what happened.
I can't hear anything.
Yeah, we left our headphones.
You did. How did that happen?
No. Magic.
I have volume.
You should have.
It was probably the refs.
Oh, wait, there we go.
That did the same thing in the.
Unplug it. Plug it back in. See
just a little playoff magic.
Did you have it before and then you?
There
lost
we go.
It? Then it has to be something that you did.
You got it?
I don't know.
I don't know if I can hear. I can hear now.
I can hear you guys talking.
Okay, well, if we have somebody on or something, we'll check it out when we take a break. But so I just wanted to go over that a little bit. I want to get into a little bit because I think this is the most interesting game that's coming up, and that's New England-Baltimore. I have a few stats here, and probably everybody knows this. Flacco's has met Brady in the playoffs three times, all at Gillette Stadium, and he's won two of them.
Yeah.
Gronk's played in one of them.
Tears of joy.
The one that Gronk played in, they won.
Yeah.
Okay. But the question is this. Does Flacco have Brady's number? And if he doesn't, it's 12.
I should, just so you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So
sure hope he does. That's maybe Flacco, but maybe not the Baltimore Ravens. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I see that. So
as much as I, root against the Patriots, I looked at their season and it was just amazing to me how they pulled off what they did with the kind of just like the beige players that they have, they kind of have just normal.
What does that mean?
Normal everyday players. They're beige, man. They're,
okay.
Except for maybe like Gronk.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just bias, but still, I just don't think that they were anything crazy besides Tom Brady, and they still pulled out a pretty awesome.
They do
season.
Have a really fantastic defense, though.
I don't know what happened.
They
with
do.
That,
they have, especially their secondary.
And see, and they're not known for that normally.
They're called the best defense that nobody talks about.
That I would totally
I so.
Agree with that.
I think that's true. So that being
much
said,
much as it kills me to give props to the Patriots.
That being
this
said,
is the defense though we're not talking about Brady.
Oh.
I don't think the Patriots that people dislike as much as it is Brady.
You know,
like.
It's the same reason
Brady
why no one
and,
likes the Yankees.
And,
you know, they're always there. They're always winning. I hate it.
Yeah. And Belichick. Belichick.
Him and
Belichick
his,
doesn't like Belichick.
Him and his hoodies.
And his hoodies,
right.
Yeah. That it so, drives me crazy. Yeah. With. So what do you think,
sorry,
Joe?
New England fans.
Does Flacco have the Patriots number? I mean, is this the close game of the weekend?
I think it's like you said, Brady and the Patriots, they lost two of the three meetings with Flacco at the helm. I think for some teams are those teams that they can do whatever they want to do, go 8-8 in the regular season and then come into the postseason and then something about January, it just starts to click. I think that Flacco has that. There's that magic to him, and I don't know what it is, but I think that's,
he showed against
that's
Pittsburgh.
Gonna take it.
Yeah. I mean, he did. And I think I heard somewhere, and I'm not sure whether or not it's accurate or not. I'd have to look it up, and maybe one of you guys can do that. But I've heard that Flacco is the best quarterback over the last four or five games. I mean, if you look at the numbers and what he's done, which is important because you got to hit it. You got to hit your stride.
You got to get hot at that moment.
And it's funny, too, because you have all these underdog teams coming in, And it seems like they're the ones that are kind of starting to hit on all cylinders. And as much as I don't want to admit that Indy has a pretty good chance, they're doing pretty well right now. And same with the Ravens, they're coming in.
To go back on that just a little bit, do you think Denver is coming in sluggish? I know. Yeah,
that's
I know.
A lot was
talked about Manning in the last few weeks, but I think a lot of it has to do with they're running the ball more, so he doesn't have the passing yards. But then came the Cincinnati game, which wasn't a stellar performance for Peyton or the Broncos.
Wasn't.
And then you get Oakland, which they beat up.
Which is expected since team.
Which was expected, so you're not going to look at that and say, oh, yeah, that look, they're back. What do you think, Zach? I mean, are they coming in sluggish?
I don't really watch the Broncos enough to really give a good talk on that. Cause
are the Packers coming in sluggish?
They are not.
Are they coming in injured?
One person is.
It's a pretty big guy. Pretty big guy does his calf hold up?
Yes, and even if it was hurt, I think he'd be fine. If you saw the last game, he played just fine on one leg.
I saw him cry.
That was Sue.
And Dominican Sue's.
I'm going to tell you what, if I have to watch one more of those stupid, we're going to pump you up, State Farm insurance debacles of his, I'm going to throw up in my mouth. I know. It's just.
We'll get ready to puke because I'm coming.
What are you doing? It's just no good. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk more football. We're going to get into this. We're going to get into Carolina and whether or not they have a chance. Okay?
So you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah, baby. Now, I also want to talk about this because George, him and I had lunch the other day, and he mentioned this. Do you think it's right? Do you think it's fair that a 6-8 or a 7-8-1 team makes the playoff, and these other 8-8, 9-7 teams don't? I mean, you were three games out, and there was the possibility of a 6-10 team being in the playoffs. Is that fair? Should that happen? And if it shouldn't happen, then how do you take care of it? We're going to talk a little bit about that, so stay with us on the other side of the break. This is The Road Less Traveled to Super Bowl 49 right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Stay connected to what matters most with high-speed service from Secom. For the home, we offer access where you need it most. Whether you're looking for high-speed internet or an in-home voice package or both, Secom has your house covered. Send emails, download music, and surf the web with the fastest service in Southeast Colorado. Our two-way wireless connections offer download speeds of up to 15 megabytes, but with a fiber connection, the sky is the limit. For the business, Secom offers voice plans, broadband internet, DSL, and Ethernet circuits. Our fully integrated Metro Ethernet platform segregates your data traffic logically at the switch, avoiding the latency of multiple routers and quality of service overhead. With only a single router between you and our nationwide backbone carriers, you really will experience the internet at the speed of light. We also offer point-to-point data links to connect all of your business locations. And if you're looking for carrier-grade data transport or dark fiber, look no further than Secom's extensive privately owned fiber network. We own and maintain our own network with more than 1,200 miles of fiber and growing throughout Southeast Colorado. So whether you're looking for dark fiber, for cable, a dedicated corporate network, or carrier-grade data transport, Secom has the answers. Visit us at secom.net or call us at 1-800-657-7149. Secom, world-class communications right in your backyard.
What if there was a financial pipeline you could use to build your savings and investment? One that didn't leak. Would you want to know about it? Call us at Higher Desire LLC in Lahana, Colorado, 719-980-0595. That number again is 719-980-0595. Ask for Bob or Terry, or you can go to our website at www.higherdesirellc.com. That's www.higherdesirellc.com.
The mist from the morning dew, and the sun peeks out over the horizon. A new day has dawned and a new chance presents itself, a chance to once again do battle. The lush green grass of the Midwest farmland lies in wait, guarded by the beaches filled with the sands of time after time after time. You unsheath your weapon of choice and lash out at the enemy before you, and for hours you navigate the landmines, cursing and praising in the same breath. But in the end, whether in victory or defeat, you vow to wake in the morning and do it all over again. Just 4 miles north of Marion, Indiana, lies a battlefield not just of bunkers and waters, but a battlefield of the mind, a battlefield where people come to discover the best in themselves, where courage is tested as each round of the enemy is faced. Arbor Trace Golf Course. Come play a round. Because in golf, the more you play, the luckier you get. I like that.
That's, I don't know if you know this, but that is the forensics slash theater chant before we perform.
Is it?
It's kill, 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 kill on three, one, two, three, kill.
For forensics.
Because when you go in forensics, you're like, oh, it's just, you know, it's just speech. But then you're like, oh, these Lahana kids are really into speech.
That's the old Drew Brees. That's the one. I think he changes it up all the time. But that was
a couple years ago. I think that was when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was the one, too. I like that one. That's a good one. So, hey, let's talk about this Carolina debacle. Okay, let's go back, though, 1 week.
I have mixed feelings.
I've got to say,
that was the worst offensive production I've ever seen.
I've ever seen in the playoffs.
They had 6 total yards in the second half.
What'd they have, like, end up with, like 77 yards?
77 or 78.
They set a record.
And they had a third-string quarterback in. It was bad, but...
I understand that. Lindley's new, but still, first and second down, they run the ball. It's negative 2 yards. It's negative 4 yards. Now Lindley's stuck with 3rd and 12, and he's got a pass, and he can't hit any. He can't hit a broadside of a barn.
To use an adjective of Jacobs, it was a beige.
It was beige.
Beige.
It was so beige.
It was like a vomit green. It was bad. That being said, Carolina wins, goes on to Seattle. Carolina ended up, somebody looked that up for me, 7-8-1.
Well, I guess technically they're 7-8-1. Yeah.
They had to be 7-8-1. So they had a losing record. What you would consider a losing record.
Yeah.
A 7-8-1. Is that fair?
Yes.
Zach was straight off the bat. Why is it fair?
You look at it, no, but
why
I think
that?
It has to be. You know?
I mean, just win your division.
I know.
I mean, I know. Every
single
team's own. They have their own destiny.
There's no other way to do it. I don't think there is.
Golly.
And I mean, if you take that away, then those division games are meaningless. It's just a point that you face twice a year now. They don't really have a whole bunch of meaning behind them anymore, and you just division words are out the window.
I mean, you take a division like ours. You know, you've got a team like the Raiders,
and if somebody gets to play them
a couple of times a year, you know, then they've got kind of 2 automatic wins. Whereas somebody else might be playing some of the toughest teams.
But you're in the Pittsburgh Steelers Bengals.
Yeah, you're in.
And so you've got AFC all those to go up against, and it's just a dogfight the whole time. And so you've got one team with a 10-6 record, another team with an 8-8, and you say, well, the 10-6 deserves it. Well, I mean, not necessarily. You've got a lot of power on the 8-8, and you go back a few years to the Giants. They got in with one of those middling records as well, and went on to win the Super Bowl. I mean, that kind of legitimizes that middle of the road record right there.
And the Seahawks beat the Saints a couple years ago.
I still think there's something about it, though. To me, if there should be some sort of
amendment in there, clause, Carolina clause.
Just
I don't
if you,
know.
If you win, if you win, it's like you get
no.
to be ridiculed.
No.
Still.
I just.
You won.
I just think that if you look at it and say, okay, here's the teams that made it. Let's look at their record now. And Carolina at 6-7-8-1 should be delegated as a wild card. You won your division. You get into the playoff. That's fine. But there's Baltimore, and there's – well, Pittsburgh ended up winning. What, they were 10-6, Baltimore 9-7, 10-6, something like that. You should they should be penalized. Yes, you got in, but you sucked. So now you got to be now your first game's got to be on the road. But now you got a 10-6 team that has to be the wild card and come to the 6-7-8-1 team simply because they won their division and they were the best of the worst. That, to me, there should just be something about, okay, this is how – keep how they get in. That's fine. But once they get in, now you look at their records, and now you seed them that way. Don't seed them specifically you're number four because you won your division.
I got you. So you're saying that just because you're a division winner, so seeding-wise –
shouldn't give you a first-round home
game.
Have
a, yeah, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I can get behind that argument.
That's what we're going to do.
I say we have the not in playoff.
Leave it alone.
You just take the worst teams.
Win your division.
And make their own playoff.
There you go. I think that
battle to see who could be the worst team in the NFL. That's how you get draft picks.
You got the Jaguars and the Raiders.
Yep.
Anyway, though, Carolina is going to Seattle. Do they have any chance? Zach?
I say they do. They do have. My name's not Zach, but
yeah.
Well, I mean, if you look at their first matchup, it was in Carolina, 13-9. They didn't. I don't think they even led the game until the very last 50 seconds or so when they scored a touchdown. So, I think the Panthers has a team that can defensively keep them in the game. The big question is, what can Cam Newton do?
Yeah.
And if Cam Newton has an okay day, they lose.
They lose.
He has to be brilliant that day for them to win.
I saw that it was on ESPN or some. I can't remember, NFL.com. They said that Cam Newton has to have the Superman come out.
Yeah, he
has to. If he doesn't,
and Luke Kuechly has to have like 20 sacks.
Yeah. And that's,
the Seahawks. I mean, they're known for their defense. They're not known for their offense. Mm-hmm. Yes, they have offense that could put up some points, and they could run, but they can also be stopped. So I think the defense keeps it a close game. It's just up to Cam Newton to fail or to succeed.
I think he's going to fail.
Most likely, he will fail.
I think so.
But everybody's
talking. About one in a million. So everybody was talking about this matchup because they were anticipating Carolina beating St. Louis, it's still the Cardinals to me.
Arizona.
They're playing baseball. That's a crazy – it's like basketball.
Thing. By the way, this is an aside. Did you see the news that the St. Louis Rams owner is moving the Rams back to L.A.?
Are they moving?
What? Going to build a stadium and move them back to L.A.
Wow. Is that official?
That's not official. That's a horrendous rumor that's floating around.
I've heard the rumor for a long time.
But
California?
I heard it.
Four team?
No, I just heard it recently, just like 2 days ago.
I've heard it for a while.
Yeah, I've heard it. You always hear it.
It's going to break away.
But said he's going to build a stadium in LA.
And then St. Louis just gets like the coolest team, like the St. Louis Lightning. And it's just cool.
I remember it was St. Louis Cardinals. That's what I remember.
Like not the baseball team?
No, not the baseball.
Cardinals football?
St. Louis Cardinals football team.
Like I told you earlier, he's old.
Yeah. Hart was their quarterback.
A quick interjection here.
Yeah.
Was anybody else surprised? I thought that the Rams, they surprised me, and I thought they were going to be.
You're only saying that because they beat the Broncos.
No,
they beat
the Broncos
Colts too.
They
beat the Colts
Packers.
Bad.
They beat the Packers, didn't they?
They beat Seattle.
And they beat.
Yeah.
Wait, what? They beat the Broncos, Colts, and Packers, and
nope.
Seattle.
In Seattle.
And what?
All at home, I think.
Was it?
Yes.
And now we're rewarding them by taking away their team.
See? No, and we punish them, and we put Carolina at 7-8-1 in the thing. I thought it was interesting. I think the reason it was surprising is because Bradford went down, and you know, they started going to hell in the handbasket at the beginning, and then they start beating all these, the only people they can beat, they lose to Oakland.
Yeah, and they beat all the good teams.
And they beat all these other good teams.
They had a fantastic defense.
Well, they do.
They still do.
James Laurinaitis. That is
a scary defense.
The touchdown pass record. I mean, Manning was on a roll with 60-some
mm-hmm.
touchdown
mm-hmm.
passes, and then all of a sudden they play against the Rams, and he's broken. And then the next week they did that to somebody else.
Green Bay didn't score a touchdown either.
And Rodgers was like one of the four quarterbacks who had, you know, it was Rodgers,
right.
Manning,
Breeze.
Salute to you, St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, salute to
you. Sit on your couch and watch those playoffs, man, and remember how great you did.
That's right.
In the
remember
regular
the days
of L.A.
Next year, they're going to be dangerous.
Of win.
I'm calling it. They're going to be a dangerous team.
I think they
team.
Will, too. That's the team to watch.
Okay, so we get to this final game. We get to the Packers and the Cowboys.
Green Bay.
Okay, we've talked a little bit about that cheating and all that and how they got in. They shouldn't be there, but hey. Caroline is there, and they were 7-8-1. I'm gonna. That's a hard.
That's
anyway.
Do I get it based on how great Green Bay is now?
Okay, so let's talk about this. I guess the same kind of question, but there's a little bit of different because now you're going up against the undefeateds. Green Bay 8-0 at home.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas 8-0 on the road.
Correct.
Somebody's gonna lose.
Cowboys. Let's go home now.
Yeah.
But why? Why does Aaron Rodgers, why do the Packers, is it simply because they're on the frozen tundra?
Well, I think the cold is definitely in the Packers' favor. I know everyone wants to talk about their running, the Cowboys' running game, but I think everyone's kind of forgetting that we have Eddie Lacy. And
he's
probably one of the best running backs in the league right now.
But
all
not,
right.
Not the best.
But not as good as DeMarco Murray.
I'll give you that.
Okay.
And
Jordy Nelson is not as good as Dez Bryant.
I'll give you that, too.
Okay, so all that. So now Dallas has a better wide receiving core. Now,
okay, one person doesn't make
I don't
a better
think core.
Yeah.
No. We have the best duo in the NFL, I think, between Cobb and Nelson.
And then you've got Aaron Rodgers, who's hurt. And Tony Romo, that seems to be over the curse. I know one game doesn't make it that
okay,
way.
Okay, I think the only reason Romo is doing any good is because of the
it's
running
because
game.
It's because they cheat. I mean, that's
they cheat and
they're
run
cheaters.
And they got a run game.
Yeah.
I think DeMarco Murray has been overran. I think he is starting to slow down in his season. I think he's getting a little slower. I think you're seeing that he's been a little beat up this season. So I think his effectiveness is going to be not as well.
You would have to agree, though, wouldn't you, that Dallas is a more balanced team than Green Bay is? Of course you would.
I can't.
He would have to agree.
The Dallas, you would have to agree.
The answer looked, I can neither confirm
can
nor deny.
But I know the answer.
Yeah.
You are. I mean,
but I think Green Bay's defense is much, much improved. So we're not the team we were in week one where Marshawn Lynch ran.
Just relax. that wasn't
just
that Aaron Rodgers?
Just
relax. R-E-L-A-X.
I mean, when we move.
Don't tell me what to do, Aaron. You're done messed up, A-A-Ron.
A-A-Ron. When Clay Matthews got moved to the middle as a middle linebacker, the defense changed. And I think people forget that they are a new defense, that they are a force to be reckoned with.
I think Green Bay is sketchy. I think they're overrated.
I cannot trust. They
Cowboys.
Are not overrated. They are a dangerous team. They are going to take the Super Bowl.
They are a danger. No.
Yes.
They are a dangerous team at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I think
they get outside the bounds of Green Bay. Dare I say the state of Wisconsin? They're just a team.
We shall see.
A question.
They're done.
With Green Bay, I mean, they obviously have the offensive attack, but do you really think that their defense can put the kind of pressure on Dallas that they need to? I mean,
I do.
You said with you okay, so
that's just a homer answer, though, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing that backs that up.
I saw Andrew Luck's beard
got
beat Clay Matthews' hair in an arm wrestling contest.
What are you saying?
saw Andrew Luck's beard beat Clay Matthews' hair in an arm wrestling contest once. I saw it.
It was nasty.
It was nasty.
It was nasty. I will give you that. I will give you this. Green Bay is dangerous at home.
They are.
They're, I mean, yeah, I would
we
say...
have, like, we're near the top of the sack list.
Yeah, but here's the other thing that you have to remember, too. Six of your 16 games. Is there another team in there? Six of your 16 games were played against Detroit, which is legit. But you played two against Chicago. You played two against Minnesota. Okay.
We also beat the Patriots.
Okay. Which is where? The best. Where?
At Lambeau.
At Lambeau. That's it. Take them outside of Lambeau.
They don't need to go outside of Lambeau for this game, though.
No, that's what I'm saying.
This upcoming weekend, I think that the Packers have the best chance.
I do, too. I really do. You talk about this coming weekend, but I think that's where it ends. Because there's nothing that would indicate to me that you can go outside of Lambeau and beat a quality team like Seattle, whom Dallas beat... in Seattle, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I give the edge to the Packers. I do, simply because they're at Lambeau. But there's no doubt that Dallas somehow has figured out this season how to go into this. I mean, you go into Seattle and win, you've accomplished something. You did something. Now, it was earlier in the year. Granted, that's – and maybe DeMarco Murray had fresher legs. I don't know. But I think that's going to be the closest game. Or it's either going to be 19-17 or it's going to be 58-3. Green Bay's just going to murder him, and everybody's going to be like, what happened? Romo's going to turn back into the wicked witch that he always does.
Yeah. See, I think Romo will crap the bed.
You think he's just going to turn back into the
Murray,
pumpkin?
I mean,
they'll put Murray in as quarterback.
The best season that a Cowboys line or a running back has had.
Yeah.
I think that
that's saying
Cowboys are going to score lots of points on the ground. I think Green Bay is going to score a ton of points in the air.
And we'll. So I don't think it's going. This isn't a Manning Luck shootout.
No.
I don't think so. The Broncos are going to try and make it a shootout.
If they try to make it a shootout, they will lose that.
No, I think Romo will turn back into a pumpkin again.
And then I will laugh and laugh and laugh.
And it'll do that. So let's get real quick then to this whole idea of if only if. All right, we talked about that at the very beginning. I'm going to start with you, Joe.
Okay.
Carolina wins only if what?
Oh, gosh. Carolina's going to win if they can run the ball.
Only if they can run the ball.
Yeah, and that's going to be a tall order against the Seahawks. I know that, I mean, it's tough to throw the ball against the Seahawks, but they're a tough run defense too. I don't think that Carolina is going to be able to do much as far as throwing the ball at all. I don't think they're going to have much success there. And Cam Newton's going to have to be a squirrely little son of a gun to get out the pocket. And whenever all of his receivers are covered, he's going to have to make something happen by picking up a first down on a 3rd and 8, whenever you think that it's not going to happen, and they're going to have to be able to do something inside too. Otherwise, I don't think they have a chance.
I think Carolina wins only if Russell Wilson pulls a hammy in the first series.
Yeah.
That's about it. So,
yeah, I think slim to none.
Zach, let me go to you. Cowboys win only if what?
Only if they... I'm gonna say two things. They have to, one, rush for more than 100 yards, and two, they have to force a turnover.
In the air, on the ground, any kind?
Any kind. I doubt it'll be in the air, but...
I think Cowboys win if they put Aaron Rodgers on his back at least three times. I think if they put him on his... If they start... That and take Jordy Nelson out. I don't know how they do that.
I will throw this out too. We have a fantastic offensive line.
If there's anybody, if there's
break someone's clavicle,
whatever
Jake, you need to do.
Indianapolis wins only if
Indy wins if they can keep Denver from rushing for more than 100 yards.
I would agree with that.
Ain't gonna happen.
I would agree with that.
Both combined, whether it be Anderson or the other guy.
What's his name?
Tillman.
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 Spielberg. Whatever his name is. If they combined, if they can keep them.
Hillman.
If Hillman. We were all
Tillman.
Close.
I was thinking Pat Tillman.
I know.
Tillman sounds right. Yeah.
If Tillman. They turn Denver one-dimensional, they can win that game.
So you're saying they're going to lose. I agree.
And so again,
it's
going to
be
down
a sad, sad night for you.
The Ravens win only if, and here's the great thing about this, is there isn't an only if for the Ravens. If the Ravens. I think the Ravens win if Gronk only catches four balls. Gronk's going to be the one that kills him. I mean, or shrinks. I really think that
or doesn't show up. He forgets there's a game that
I think
day.
That's the thing. If you look at the Ravens, Patriots, and the matchups that they have had before, it's very easy to see the one thing that changed the whole concept of what they did was Gronk. The other times Flacco wins. I don't know. We'll see. Okay. Let's do this then real quick. We'll wrap this up here in quick fashion. Tell me your winners, and then give me your NFC and AFC championship winners. So in other words, NFC, Jake, who are you picking in the NFC? Let's go NFC. Seattle, Carolina, Dallas, Green Bay.
Okay.
Who are you picking?
Is this to be in the Super Bowl?
No, these are the two winners to go on to the NFC Championship game.
I say Green Bay beats Dallas.
Yep.
Seattle beats Carolina.
So Green Bay goes to Seattle. Who wins?
Seattle beats Green Bay.
Yep. And Seattle goes to the Super Bowl. All right.
Seattle goes
so let's
to
go
the bowl,
to let's
the
go to
big
Joe.
Game.
Let's go to
Cereal
Joe
bowl.
In the NFC. Who do you got?
Same
thing.
Yeah.
Seattle goes to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Zach, you're probably going to have something different, is what I'm thinking.
Probably. I have Packers going to the Seahawks and
uh-huh.
beating them in their own home.
Ooh, and Green Bay going to the Super Bowl.
In Green Bay.
I'm going to stick with Joe and Jake. I'm going to take the same route. I'm going to take Green Bay. I'm going to take Seattle. I'm going to take Seattle in the Super Bowl.
I hope we have a talk before the Super Bowl, and I'll tell you all
I
how
think,
you're wrong.
I think that's an easier tract than the AFC.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, who do you take? Indianapolis, Denver. Jake?
What I want to happen
okay.
is I want Indy to win, and I want Baltimore to win, and I would like to see Indy go to the Super Bowl.
What do you think?
What
of?
I think
what
is
do you
going
think
to happen, I think Indy pulls the upset, New England wins, New England beats Indy, and it will be
Ooh.
New England,
That's
Seattle.
Interesting. That's an interesting. What do you think, Joe?
I think that the Broncos are going to be able to handle the Colts. I mean, and that's speaking, even if I wasn't a Broncos fan, I think that's what I would say. Cause
that's
most
just
people
head knowledge.
Yeah, just speaking as an educated American.
That's no hard stuff. That's just head. That's
hey,
no homework.
Mega
that's
says
no.
that, too.
Okay.
And I think that I think New England's going to be tough to beat at home. And that's a worry for me. And like you said, with Indy going to see Brady and the crew. I think that the Broncos, it's going to be a tall order for them to go to New England and take them out at their own place. But it's going to happen. We're going to have a repeat
rematch.
Of last year's
okay.
Super Bowl.
AFC, who do you got, Zach?
I have the Broncos facing the Ravens.
Yes.
And then I have the Broncos beating the Ravens.
Yeah.
For a Green Bay Packer Bronco showdown.
I'm gonna go the same way. I'm gonna take Broncos beat Colts, Ravens beat New England, then Ravens have to come to Mile High and they can't win there. And then so now you have Jake, New England Seattle. In Arizona? Where are they playing this
Arizona.
Year?
Arizona.
In Glendale.
Yes.
I say Seattle repeats
Ooh.
And wins again. The tall order beating the Pats indoors.
The Legion
I
of
say,
Boom Boom.
The Legion of Boom makes Tom Brady cry all the way back to New England.
Okay, what do you got, Joe?
Tom Brady's
lost
a lot of Super
Bowl. Who do you have?
True.
You've got New England, Seattle. Is that who you had, or did you have Denver?
I have Denver beating New England. Now, what I would love to see is the Ravens upsetting New England, and
sure,
then we get to take on the Ravens here. But
right,
I still think the Broncos will get back there and take on the Seahawks.
England.
It would be interesting if Broncos play the Packers, and it brings up another question, because everybody always talks about, well, here's what's happened in the past, you know, and you think about the repeat of a Broncos Super Bowl win against the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, that doesn't mean a thing.
I just watched that game on the Deuce two nights ago.
Oh, really?
They had a replay of it. It was fantastic. That was Elway's first
Super Bowl.
Yeah,
diving in and, I mean, just selling out for it.
Yes.
But
so who ends up winning the Super Bowl?
Broncos.
The Broncos. You're picking
Green Bay.
And Peyton Manning MVP, and he retired.
The two Colts fans are like, let's not get carried away.
I think it's going to come down to C.J. Anderson. I think Manning's arm is going to do what it needs to do.
Much like Terrell Davis. Yes.
Yes.
Migraine and all. You're picking the Packers to win the Super Bowl.
Of course.
Obviously. You know what?
What?
I got to pick Denver in the Super Bowl.
You.
I got a feeling that it's destiny. There's this weird Manning Elway thing. I can see him winning a Super Bowl and coming back next year. I think if he wins the Super Bowl, he retires.
Done. I'd say he's the Phoenix, man. And he, after leaving Indy,
up from the ashes.
From the ashes. And he's going to keep going.
As soon as Manning leaves,
oh, we've got Osweiler to take
he's
over.
He's like
a baby giraffe out there.
How excited he was against Oakland when he threw his first touchdown pass.
Was he really excited?
Oh my gosh, you would have thought he
won the Super Bowl.
Unbelievable.
He's cute. I just don't know that he's going to have what it takes.
Well, we shall see what happens. Again, that's why they play the games. Because real quick.
On any given day.
Real quick, I want to jump back to college football real quick, because we have Oregon coming up against Ohio State for the national championship.
Which is the best combination that I was waiting for.
If there's anything that shows people that's why you play the game, and shows that's why we have a playoff system for the national championship, is when Ohio State beats four, and you go, four wouldn't have even been considered for the national championship, and here they're playing for it. So who wins, Jay?
Oregon wins.
Absolutely.
Oregon wins.
What do you think?
I'm going to Ohio.
Yeah, you know, Ohio State. Simply because it's closer to Green Bay. That's what it is.
Well, I really don't know a lot about college football. I'm just going against you guys.
I know. I hope your dreams come true for you, although I would be upset if they did.
Hey, how about speaking of college football?
Yeah.
I mean, just another shout out to our boys up at CSUP.
Woo!
Division II national champions.
We got Zachary, who is an alumni.
Division II champs.
Yes.
National champions.
We are the best.
That's in Division II.
Hey.
Whisper that part, though.
The best, the best of the division.
National champs.
Which is
awesome.
It is saying something for CSU football.
Huge.
I mean, it's absolutely huge.
We've only had the football program back for
4 years, maybe.
I think five or six.
And let's not slouch it out. I mean, there's good Division II.
Oh, yeah.
I think any good Division II team could have beaten Arizona.
Yeah.
Last Saturday.
Yeah.
Easily. I mean, I think Lahana Tigers could have put up 78 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It was just unbelievable. I want to thank you guys for doing this. It's always fun to come and do it. We'll see what happens. Somebody's going to eat crow. It usually is
Elwood's
me.
Elwood's going to eat crow.
Maybe Elwood. Elwood from Indianapolis. We're going to see. So real quick, before we go, I want to look forward to the next season. Who's your surprise team of the 2015-2016 team? By the way, I don't know if you saw it in the paper or not, Jameson – declared out. He's going to the NFL draft. What, 2 years
Man,
at Florida State.
I can't wait
State.
To see him oh. flop.
He's going to do. He's going to end
my
up
surprise,
like RG3.
My surprise team, the Los Angeles Rams.
There you go.
The Los Angeles Thunderbolts, whatever they choose to be.
Whatever
the Los Angeles Black Hand.
With
I don't
Sam
know
Bradford back or Sam Bradford gone?
They're gonna bring in some no name, and he's gonna clean house.
I'd keep whoever they had in there. I can't remember.
Tavon Austin is gonna
there
catch
you go.
600 receptions.
Joe, who's your surprise team of next year?
I would say the L.A. Rams. Too. I mean, that, I thought that they were going to be the surprise team of this year, but I think that the Jaguars.
The Jaguars.
They're going to win
Jaguars.
More than five games.
They're going to win more. I think they're going to get some stuff together. They're young right now. I think that they're kind of ready for that breakthrough, and it's one of those things, you know, you talk about the magic of football, and,
mm-hmm.
and I think that next year that's going to come together for them. I think they're going to. Have a good. I don't think they're going to be Super Bowl bound, but I think
right.
that they're going to surprise a lot of people by what they can do.
Pick will be the Dolphins.
Dolphins, they played well this year. They could have a breakthrough season next year where they get over the hump. What were they, 8-8 this year, something like that?
Something like that, but
yeah.
I think they're going to just really surprise a lot of people next year. They have a really good defense.
Yeah.
I think something's going to finally click on offense, and people are going to be surprised by them.
I'm going to pick, you're going to laugh, but and I have no earthly reason for saying this, although it's just a gut feeling. As at the end, you were thinking maybe they're going to pick up a few people. I'm going to say that the Oakland Raiders are going to surprise people next year.
The Oakland Raiders.
I think the Oakland
pick
Raiders
pick up Mariota or what's his name?
They could. Well, they don't have the number one. They won too many games. Dang it.
Is that number
but they
three
were playing better. I think
somebody.
They're. I don't know if they're going to change over. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to say they're not going to. They're not going to vie for the AFC West. That's not going to happen. But they're going to get close to 8-8. I think. I don't. Maybe 7.
Getting
and,
close
one
to
of
eight
those,
and eight.
Be 6-10.
Is that a surprise
maybe.
Team if you get close to 8-8?
I think it is.
For the Raiders.
I guess for the Raiders
is.
It would be.
I don't think it's going to be one of those things that you look at and say, okay, you're a contender. But it is going to be one of those things that you don't look. I mean,
one of the things
everybody agrees.
You look at them like they can make something of themselves next year.
I think everybody agreed that after the Cincinnati game for Denver, everybody looked at the schedule and said, "Okay,
mm-hmm.
now it's Oakland. We
yeah.
got a breather."
Finally, yeah,
thank
it's
goodness.
Almost like this
thank
last
goodness.
Couple of weeks for us has been we've had Oakland and then we've got a bye week and
right.
now we get to come back and. It's Oakland.
See,
was almost
real,
like
and
a
I just don't think that Oakland's going to be that team next year. I don't think it's going to be the team that you look over on the schedule. So where's RG3 end up? Does he stay in Washington?
I don't
Should
think
he
gets a starting job.
RG3 ends up sitting the bench for Colt McCoy.
Sitting the bench for Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy, my boy from Texas.
Good, come on.
The last good thing about that football team, and he's going to sit the bench.
RG3 is.
What do you think?
Yeah, he's one of those where there's lots of hope, and he's just kind of hurt all the time or whatever's going on with him, but just flash in the pan. I think he'll be sitting the bench. I think there's a lot more quarterbacks out there who have as much as he has that just have that the it factor. You know,
yeah, well,
I don't think that he has the it factor.
I think he has a chance. I mean, he has the arm strength. He has the mobility. He just doesn't have it to put all together. He doesn't have the accuracy. He doesn't have the decision-making.
Yeah, and I think I was sitting here watching, and they were doing a flashback, and I thought it was interesting. So I'll end with this question because it's getting late. But I was sitting there watching however many years ago it was, 3 years ago, it was the talking heads on ESPN. It was the talking heads on NFL.com. It was, I mean, all these people talking about how much it was Skip Bayless, the moron.
Skip.
I don't like Skip. Stephen A. Smith.
You can never take Skip seriously.
Skip, man, I don't like it. Anyway, they were all talking about what a horrible decision Indianapolis had made by taking Andrew Luck and not taking RG3. Now, obviously, hindsight is 20/20. But my question to you is this, and then, like I said, William, what makes the difference? Why does Andrew Luck shine like that and RG3 end up? Is it supporting cast? Is it coach? Is it pure talent?
I think it's the fact that Chuck Pagano is so compatible with,
as opposed to Mike Shanahan
to for RG3. I think it would be coach, because I think they had the same attitude, same.
Much of the same skill set.
Same IQ and everything like that. Maybe Luck was a little higher. I don't know. I just would say coaching staff.
What do you think, Joe?
I think, you know, you've got the difference between a good college player and a good pro player, especially when it comes to the position.
Hello, can you say Tim Tebow?
Yeah, exactly. Tim Tebow was just, you know, Heisman winner, right?
Right.
And two national championships.
Twice. Two Heisman trophies?
Yep.
Two, yeah.
And just... And he did have something. You know, I mean, when he was with the Broncos, guy couldn't throw, but he had something that just inspired people
right.
to win. And he's a great guy, and I think
mm-hmm.
And same with RG3. He seems like a great guy too. But there's something about the mechanics and dynamics of Luck that just take him to that different level that's a little more compatible with what the pro game needs.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have, I mean, and then you have people like Chip Kelly who come
right.
in and bring that college flair and it works in some ways, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I think that it's one of those things where you've got, whoa, it's happening now. And then all of a sudden people can adapt to that. And then once other teams adapt to whatever made them unique and special, they can't bring anything else. And I think that Luck just has a few more of those, a few more things in his toolbox
mm-hmm.
that can let him succeed in the league where RG3 just hasn't been able to.
Just didn't. What do you think, Zach? I mean, all those things part of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is, you know, the NFL adapting to grinding quarterbacks. And, you know, when they first started coming out, people were like, oh, what do we do? And there was that freshness of not knowing what to do. But now the NFL has a couple of years to adjust to it, and they know how to defend against it. And the problem with RG3 is that's all he knew how to do.
Right.
Once you took that away from him, you know, he didn't have the ability to stand in the pocket and throw a good pass.
Mm-hmm.
So once they took that away, and he didn't, I guess maybe the coaching staff didn't think of a creative way to get him out of the pockets to make those kind of passes and throws or stuff like that. But really it's just on the quarterback themselves to be able to adapt to what the defense
absolutely agree, and I think one of the things that they find out is, and it happened to RG3, and it hasn't happened yet to Kaepernick, or it hasn't happened to Russell Wilson yet, but it will sooner or later. You can only run as a quarterback for so long in the league before somebody.
I think you're seeing that
chops
with Kaepernick
your
right
head.
Now, actually.
Yeah, but I mean, in defense of Kaepernick and Wilson, they are good passers in the pocket.
They are,
and
that's exactly right. They know how to
adapt that way. Maybe at the very beginning they weren't really strong in that area, but they found out pretty quickly that, you know, that's something they need to learn how to do, and they adapted in there.
And RG3 comes out, and you get those quarterbacks who are the Michael Vicks, the whatever, who can come out of the pocket, who are dynamic in their running, and then they get busted, and then RG3 goes down, and his knee's down, and is blown out, and now a young player has to come back. And they quickly find out that the speed and the strength of the NFL is not the speed and the strength of college football, be it Alabama, Oregon, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, you get smacked out of the pocket, and you find out that, hey, that I got linebackers that can hunt me down
and
hit me hard, and it hurts.
And a big thing with for some of those quarterbacks to be successful in the NFL, coaches have to completely change their playbooks.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of coaches that have the ability to do that.
And for a player to come into to an offense that's already established and then expect the rest of the offense to adapt to one player's style, that's
mm-hmm.
tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the question I had was, mm-hmm. speaking of Andrew Luck and then Kaepernick as well,
mm-hmm.
you have the Harbaugh factor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he's one of those coaches where people kind of see, you know, the success that he's had in college and Andrew Luck specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Kaepernick, who's kind of, you know, everything's kind of waning there. And it's they're looking at it saying, oh, this era is kind of gone.
Right.
We thought this was going to be the quarterback to bring the 49ers back. And Harbaugh and then whatever his style is just not working anymore.
Right.
But then you have Luck, who comes in, and I think Luck is a quarterback that's going to be here, and he's going to
– sure.
I mean, he's going to be a towering success,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I don't know if it's because he got into a different program, and like you said, the coaching staff is a little bit different and can work with him and take the things that he does well and really help him develop on those instead of –
Yeah, and I think it's different because I think the one thing that sticks out and you look at and say, okay, this doesn't fit into everything else is Russell Wilson. Because Russell Wilson came in and I don't even know what he was drafted. I don't know even what round he was drafted. But he comes in and he wins and he goes to the Super Bowl and he has all this. But you look at the supporting cast of Russell Wilson as opposed to the supporting cast of Kaepernick, who for many years had, you know, Frank Gore and a number of people that he could throw to, and then it doesn't work. And, okay, this worked well, and then it didn't. So the only one I've really seen that comes in and you're like, oh, my God, unfortunately, is Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He came in and he just doesn't matter who was around him.
Unfortunately.
He just kept winning.
There are certain quarterbacks who can make a supporting cast.
Absolutely.
You know, they come in
and Tom
like,
Brady
that,
is
that
one
receiver
of them.
Is excellent. And really, it's
right.
I mean, a quarterback that can make it happen whenever that receiver is in a tight spot and the quarterback just puts it there. And Luck had a pass, you know, speaking of the scramble and getting
mm-hmm.
out of, he was being tackled and this guy's being covered by two defenders in the end zone. And Luck just, as he's going down, puts the ball up in the perfect spot.
And I think, in all fairness, and I think everybody would agree with this, Andrew Luck inherited a team run by Peyton Manning. I mean, that
yes.
was used to.
Yes.
Andrew Luck wasn't,
and he can do that,
wasn't
you know,
that much different
than
Peyton Manning. Reggie
yeah.
Wayne's routes didn't have to change that
mm-hmm.
much. He could still run the same. And you know, that makes a huge difference. And
yeah.
so that was Peyton's team.
But who was the interim quarterback whenever Peyton was out for that year?
Chris Painter, or
yeah,
I think it was something Painter, yeah.
Yeah, that's how they got Andrew Luck.
I know,
they
but
won.
They inherited the same, he
no,
inherited the same.
Salute to you, Chris
right.
Painter, for making
right.
that. Salute to Painter
and
for
I'm not saying,
making
I,
that possible.
Yeah, I'm just saying that that's a great example of Andrew Luck, I think, is a lot like Peyton Manning. And
mm-hmm.
I think as he gets older, you will see that he looks a lot.
His beard will get longer.
His beard will get
he
longer.
He will be called
here's,
Gandalf.
Here's a question for you guys, Colts fans.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if
yes.
so is
yes.
Manning,
absolutely.
Manning is done, and then Luck comes in right after Manning, and
uh-huh.
there is no Painter debacle to,
yeah.
to mix up the whole thing, do you think that there would have been as much love for Luck at that point? Or do you think that he would have followed the same as like Brian Griese or Plummer
no.
after Elway?
I think it took that season to make people appreciate a good quarterback.
Oh, I think so.
Poor Painter, he was a second-string quarterback all of his life. But
I,
yeah, that's whatever.
I think, to answer your question, I think they would love Luck as much because, I mean, it'd be just like Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. You know, at
yeah,
first, you know, you have your couple
Joe Montana, down. Steve Young.
Yeah.
But do you think the fact
yeah,
that...
have that dip down where...
but
yeah.
Favre went to Minnesota.
Yeah,
right.
We don't want to talk
and
about that.
Everybody was just like, oh, you know,
Joe Montana
we're
gonna, went to Kansas City.
We're going to like Aaron Rodgers just to spite Brett Favre.
Yeah, because he's in Minnesota, yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
a lot of people hated Aaron Rodgers when he first started.
And I think the difference between Joe Montana going to Kansas City, Brett Favre going to Minnesota, you know, and then
yeah.
to the Jets, I believe.
Yeah. And then
when Peyton Manning
go to the Broncos,
Minnesota.
When Peyton Manning came to Denver, we knew in the state of Colorado that we weren't getting the old guy sloppy seconds.
No.
Yeah.
We just knew that. Joe Montana goes to Kansas City, and everybody knew it wasn't the Joe Montana of the 49ers.
Yeah.
Everybody knew that it wasn't the Brett Favre. I mean, it was still okay, but it didn't matter. I was absolutely dumbfounded, godsmacked, whatever you call it, that Peyton Manning chose Denver. After thinking about it, and looking at it, but I never even considered that Denver would be a place that, and when he said it's Denver, I thought, okay, John Elway was the hook, whatever.
Yeah.
But everybody realized, hey, this isn't a, we aren't getting just, we didn't pick up the old guy for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it came, so I think it was a big difference for all of that. Hey, we're going to run, that's an hour and a half of football right there.
Football.
We'll see what happens. Zach, again, I wish you all the luck on the frozen tundra, but that's about all you're going to get.
Colts have all the luck they need.
Colts have all the luck.
So cute. And I will say, sweet little catchphrase.
I will say the same thing to you, Joe,
makes
that I say to George. I hope Peyton plays awesome, but I hope the Broncos lose.
Well, you know, we'll have a different conversation Sunday evening.
We probably will. I am. What is it, as Colts fans, as a Bears fan. As a Cubs fan.
Let me ask you this, Derek.
I always do this. I hope for the best. I prepare for the worst. Okay, go ahead, Zach.
So, Colts lose.
I fully expect them to.
Do you become a Broncos fan just for Manning, or who do you root for?
You know, that's an interesting thing. If the Colts lose, I will root for the Broncos. Against whoever they play, because the Bears aren't in there anymore. I'm not a bandwagon jumper. If the Broncos go to the Super Bowl and lose, I will be embarrassed like we always are, because I live in Colorado. But it won't. I'll get up the next day and I won't be hurting about it.
Right.
But I will root for the Broncos. And until the Green Bay Packers play somebody like the Patriots, I will continue to root against them, simply because I am ultimately a Chicago Bears fan.
Understandable.
And genetically, I'm not allowed to root for the Green Bay Packers. So for everybody here at the Road Less Traveled, thanks for listening to the Road Less Traveled Super Bowl 49. Good luck, Packers. Good luck, Broncos. We have all the luck we need. God bless.
Let's be engaged. Let's play together, most importantly. Let's go to work, baby. Hey.